Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Big news this week out of Washington, D.C., the implosion of the so-called deal to secure the southern border. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a bit about presidential politics with Scott Parkinson from the Club for Growth. Scott, good to have you here.
It's great to be back, Loman. Thank you.
Well, immigration, there was this so-called bipartisan deal. It turns out that there was significant opposition among Republicans in the U.S. Senate. Want to tell us what happened that imploded this whole situation?
Last weekend, they released the legislative text after over a month of rumors that it was going to be released imminently. And your listeners might recall that on January 12th, there was a graphic that was published on Fox News, and the graphic was created by the Immigration Accountability Project. And it basically said that the immigration negotiations were going to allow 5,000 illegal aliens to cross the border every single day before these emergency actions would take place to actually secure the border, and that they would turn people away. It also said that if anybody had been granted a release from custody, that they were going to have immediate access to work permits. So it was basically giving illegal status to 10 million illegal aliens that have come through. And that's a big, big issue. So the graphic was published on Fox News, and these negotiators from Chuck Schumer and James Lankford and others, they said, "Don't believe your lying eyes, Loman, because this information's not accurate, and wait for the legislative text to come out. We're going to secure the border," and so on and so forth. Well, when the text did come out, it's exactly what it showed. It still showed the 5,000 illegal aliens being permitted to cross the border every single day, and that totals 1.825 million illegals. I think that was a real, real problem for them. Additionally, the size and scope and cost of that legislation totaled $118.3 billion in an emergency supplemental. That's money that's not subject to any sort of budgetary restraint. And that became a big tipping point, I think, for the Club for Growth. Club for Growth ultimately key voted against that legislation. And the conservative movement and conservative members of the House and Senate revolted against the leadership's plan to try to jam that legislation through this week. Ultimately, we saw senators one by one coming out against the proposal, and eventually Mitch McConnell himself said that he would not vote to proceed for the legislation that Chuck Schumer said he had never negotiated a closer negotiation than that one with Mitch McConnell. So it kind of threw James Lankford underneath the bus, but it just shows what the political nonsense is in Washington, D.C. compared to real-world America. And I think that phones were lighting up, activist groups were activated, and ultimately the bill went down in flames this week. They did continue the negotiations, and we'll see exactly how that proceeds. I think that they'll probably just try to get money and make sure that they can fund Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan and elsewhere. But the money is not going to just solve this problem. You need real policy that are going to fortify the border and are going to ensure that we don't have this unlimited flow of illegal aliens into America.
Senator Ted Cruz, among others, were highly critical of Mitch McConnell and actually calling for a change in leadership. Does this indicate that perhaps that might be on the horizon?
Well, I think you may recall in the winter of 2022, after those midterm elections, there was an opposition to Mitch McConnell being reelected as the Senate Majority Leader. It was a sort of a small opposition. I think ultimately 10 or 12 senators voted against McConnell in the private meeting. Nonetheless, it is indicative of this fact that McConnell does not have the unified strength of a Republican conference in his own leadership. And I think it's time for new leadership as well. We obviously have seen the need to get new voices at the table to basically try to do something different. Einstein apparently said that the definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And if we're going to continue to provide for mass amnesties, I think that it's a big sign on the southern border that says, open border, come on over.
Let's switch gears here a little bit and talk presidential politics, Scott. NBC recently came out with a poll, rather stunning in a number of ways. Particularly, it showed President Trump with opening up a huge lead among independents. What did the numbers show?
Number one, you got to talk about Biden's approval rating, and it extends across all demographics. He's all the way down at 37%. That's the lowest that a president has had for their reelection in generations. And so I think that Biden is basically shedding independent voters from his coalition, and that's a big, big problem for him. That's why they're trying to address the border situation. But if they're going to try to maintain the radical progressive base, which is what he always tries to extend his support toward, then they're going to lose these independent voters. He's even very, very low among Hispanic voters that were surveyed by NBC. And so when you looked at the independent numbers among independents, and you recall, this is a group of voters that actually favored Joe Biden in the 2020 election. Now, Donald Trump is leading among independents, according to NBC, 48-29. That's a 19% lead. I think, obviously, nationally, that we are in great shape for a wave election. It also showed that President Trump was leading President Biden by 5%. That's just not anything to sort of thumb your nose toward. I think that it's a real indication that Biden is in deep trouble for his own reelection, that we've got a real shot to win a lot of U.S. Senate races, and that we're ultimately going to hold the House of Representatives, and we're going to have unified government in 2025. That actually makes a difference for the American people in all communities.
And we would point out that relative to holding the U.S. Senate, there are a lot more Democrat seats in play than Republican seats this year, correct?
Yeah, I think we've got real opportunities, not just in Virginia, where I'm running, but also in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Montana, West Virginia, Nevada, Arizona. All those states are incredibly competitive. And Republicans obviously need to do everything we can to support Ted Cruz in Texas. Texas is a tough state, but Ted Cruz is going to win that race, and we're not going to lose any Republican incumbents in 2024. You got to have confidence that we can win, but winning involves uniting the party behind new leadership. And we've lost these other elections in the past. We've lost the Senate. We've lost House races. Expectations haven't been met. And I think that what the American people really, really want at this time is to throw out a lot of those Democrats that have been in power and have been bankrupting America underneath Joe Biden's policies that are making us worse off today than we were 4 years ago.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Well, Club for Growth is a membership organization based out of Washington, D.C. It's united in this idea of economic liberty and freedom and opportunity. If anybody wants to learn more, check out clubforgrowth.org, where you can sign up as a member for free.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. As always, Scott, good to have you with us. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Loman.